you'll require. And that this is the opportunity to do so. I recognize the Honorable Lord Reeds, then Honorable Tuan. Am I pronouncing your surname correct? Thank you very much. Then Honorable Filtane. I'm improving to pronounce it correct. Any further member to add? Looks like the rest are covered. Honorable Lutlid.
Thank you, Chair. This is through you. I'd just like to inquire in terms of the request to talk unit procedures. We have now heard that you take 20 at a time until you go through all of them. Have you ever tested more than 20 at a time, for example, a large number up to 100 to see what the effect is, whether there isn't some incident perhaps where some of the systems would be excluded or disconnected in any way? Have you ever tested something like that? Then secondly, you also refer to the fact that if there is an incident on the day, there is a faulty equipment or a problem, that it is logged. Who logs the incident and when is it addressed? Is it addressed during the sitting or is it done afterwards? Then I would also like to know that on the day, the 21st of August, the day in question, I can distinctly recall on the evidence that we have seen the video footage that there were incidents of members' microphones or the to-talk buttons didn't work. Was that logged on that particular day? Because I think you said earlier that there was no incident reported on that day. Then I would also like to know, you referred to the cameras and the audiovisual. Is that switched on and off remotely? So let's say, for example, on the day of the 23rd, who switched off the audio after the incident? Because it was all visual, but the audio was visual. Who switched that off? And then just lastly, does the speaker's feet and the equipment that the speaker has in front of her, is there a facility that she can, in fact, disable all other microphones?
Thank you. Okay, we take all the questions so that if they are similar, then you should be able to answer them correctly. Honorable Tuan.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got a problem with this document in the college this witness today. The document is dated the 8th of May 2020. And the problems that we are about happened post the validity of this document and thus the evidence contained in it. Can you help us through that process?
Okay, Honorable Filtane.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few questions. Indeed, one of them is definitely one clarity. The report, like one page, I can check. Just stamping that one out. The quality of that you referred to. Reflect working time something like 7 hours. Whereas you had said that you normally start at 10 and finish by 12 o'clock routinely. We need some clarity on that. Because another report refers to reflect 8 hours. Now, I hope I'm putting this question to the right person. This is the next one. Why is it that there was no reported malfunctioning on the 21st, when in fact we know that there was some harm done. Who signed the document on page 107? And now, the reason I'm asking this is because the document itself makes provision for three signatures. And somewhere, on page 42, it says two engineers are required. Now, why is it that only one person signs when in fact something like two or more engineers are required to perform the test? Lastly, what is the rate at which the equipment can sequence the speakers? Milliseconds. That would be in the calibration of the equipment. Lastly, Chair, I think it's important for us to actually get the original and let it be circulated, because these are technical reports. I've pointed out some questions, concerns, and these are not certified copies either. Now, I'm not in any which way suggesting that this may not be true, but I think as a matter of procedure, evidence that is being submitted here, you need to see the original, because these are actually reports.
If may be, we can take you through the number of which specific reports do we actually need to see the original. It's a process that will take no more than 10 minutes for us just to see, and then we say that we accept that these copies are a reflection of those originals. I think that would satisfy us. Thank you.
Yeah, Honorable Boy.
No, I just wanted to also say to the ordinary, to the member, that it's always important to solicit from other members how much they think about such and such issue before coming to a conclusion. It's all of us want the same assistance to these people. Because he always work on an assumption that we all want what he wants, forgetting that we also want to be consulted as a collective.
Yeah, well, I'm sure then you'll be able to speak amongst each other and have a position on this particular matter, like as you did before, and you have been cooperating with each other, I think, and because of some of the little gaps in between. Of course, is that Honorable Mwamba, I think, was on the line after I said that all of you are covered, then you refused to be covered. And then this is an opportunity then to pose a question. God will assist you, Honorable Mwamba.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this opportunity. I've got just a few questions to ask the manager just across, sitting across the air. The first question has to do with the cameras in the house. Because I heard you say that any cameras are actually remotely controlled from a particular point. I just want to know exactly on the day in question, which is the 21st of August, exactly who was operating this camera. Secondly, on the day, were these cameras actually working properly? Because in the clip that we actually accurate and working. I just want to hear from you the authenticity of this document, given the fact that in the space where the NAC representative, which is the National Assembly Chamber representative, did not sign, what is the authenticity of this document? And the third question is to do with, it's a specific question. Were there any engineers in the house on the 25th or 21st of August? And the following one, was the speaker's equipment working on the 21st of the 8th? Like how can we actually get that particular information? And the last one is that it has to do with, because I have a particular experience on this budget on the same day. Can you actually tell us whether you are aware that on the 21st of August, 2014, some requests to speak stations were actually not working? In the light of your evidence that on the 21st, everything was actually checked and was found to be working.
Thank you, honourable members, and I'm sure honourable members would remember that Mr. Poli, I think, was introduced as a minister for ICT. Yes, and he's a minister, and he's got a whole lot of people underneath who are actually doing all sorts of technical work going down. And so as long as we are definitely aware of that, so that you are clear on the kind of answers that you get, the correct answers or answers that are reported done by other technicians going below, as long as you just understand that. Mr. Foley, you can respond to the questions that have been made. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. On the matter that the member asked regarding what could be described, I suppose, in the IT world as flat testing, or large-scale testing, or stress testing, or load testing, which would generally involve 400 members of parliament hitting the button simultaneously, and what would the, how would the system respond if I interpret your question correctly? The answer to the question is yes, we have tested. In the initial design of the system, it was designed with that worst-case scenario in mind. So the system is well capable of handling those 400 requests, of requests to talk being pushed at the same time. We tested it and we confirmed it when, before we went live with the system and before the State of the Nation, we brought in staff from all over Parliament to set up a desk. And we held what we call then a mock sitting, and we put the system through its face. Of course, now, in the current configuration of the system, we only display the first 20 members that push the button. That does not mean that the system does not record the other 400. It's just, in terms of the role and the way that we were required to display the information, we were only required to display the first 20. In terms of who logs the call, if there is an issue that is raised in the house, generally, I think I need to say that the engineers are, we have two engineers on site. One is usually sitting in the Hansard base, and the other one is in the data center. And they do simultaneous monitoring of both the proceedings of the house, as well as the equipment in the data center. If an issue is logged, or a member reports a particular equipment being faulty or not working, the procedure for us is immediately after the session is to verify that the equipment is faulty. Now, we may not necessarily replace it at that time. We may do it the next morning if it is faulty. Or certainly, we will try and fix it before the end of the day. Because sometimes things could start as early as 10 o'clock in the morning. The engineer, if he does discover a fault, will log it. We'll log it with us, and we'll make a record of it. And then the procedure kicks in terms of the replacement of that particular faulty component. On the day of the 21st, I have no record of any item that was logged. I do recall that the engineers did test the request for system operating system to check whether there were any faulty units. And I think that was then confirmed again when they did the Monday test, which is a complete test of all the units in the chain. There is no record of any of those units being replaced or being reported as faulty. In terms of the audio, who turned off the audio on that particular date? We were requested to mute, and that's generally done on the handheld bay. So we can mute the audio from there. The question around whether the speaker can disable the audio, her desk does not have that functionality. We have recently installed such a functionality that can be operated by the table staff as well as sound operators in the handheld bay, which will turn off the floor microphones only and leave the table staff microphones and the speaker's microphones operational. The document date that was referred to around the 8th of May, I think I must put that in context. The contract with this particular company was up to a particular date in this year. The deliverables that they had to give us, was some of those were a standard operating procedure. So that while the date is there, the documents have been since handed over. Now the date was subject to a handover of all the official documents. And as part of our contract, one of the deliverables was the standard operating procedure. And now a lot of questions have been asked about the standard operating procedure, and I think it's important for me to set some context. The standard operating procedure is a working document, it's a living document. The output and the final document that we received was on a TV and it's electronic version in its nature. For the simple reason that every time we change a component or we refine the processes in a standard operating procedure, then we amend the procedure. And hence we keep the document in its electronic form. The engineers also access it in an electronic form. Sometimes they may carry a hard copy of it, but the latest version is always stored in our servers and in electronic version. So the document is valid, it is the document we use for testing, and it does belong to Poly. In terms of the number of hours, remember how some, I think it was on a particular page, the hours that they logged is the time that they started and they came in to do the testing until the end of the session. So sometimes they may stay a little longer to complete if there was a reported malfunction to check. Sometimes they may even perform additional tests or they may check. And depend, again, the hours that they work will depend on the length of the system. Because the engineers do not leave until the fitting is done, the system is shut down, and all of the equipment is locked up before they leave. I think I did answer the one on the reported malfunction on the day. In terms of the National Assembly Chamber representative signing the document, the engineers obviously test pre-setting. We check. We perform all of our tests together with our IT staff. The sign off that you see here is the person who's responsible for checking and double checking the chamber is, in terms of our service management operations within IT, we have a service desk. And the representative who's the head of the service desk operation is responsible for signing off on the budget. The National Assembly Chamber, sometimes when they're available, they do sign the document. It sometimes is difficult to get them because before the sitting, they're extremely busy running around, setting up, and getting things done. So sometimes it's possible to get them to sign off on it, and sometimes not. But we certainly will make an effort to make sure that they sign off. We do brief them, though, before the sitting, that all is in order. And if there are any issues, we also report it to them. And I think they can confirm that. I think we spoke about the sequence rate of the equipment. Remember, I think the question was potentially related to the how quickly can it? Could you clarify that for me?
Thanks. My question, sorry, one. What is the, according to the way the equipment is calibrated, what is the frequency at which it can sequence the speakers? We're talking seconds or milliseconds here. That would be with this, the way it was designed. Thank you.
One of the things I did was to try and understand the spreadsheets, of course. The difficulty here is that when you are looking at a manufacturer specification sheet, generally the information is related to their intellectual property. So often they will not give you information like that. But in our design of the system, one of the things that we looked for in terms of the rate is that we wanted the difference between, and this is subject to confirmation, the difference between a person coming first or second on the list could be in the microseconds. I can't tell you exactly how many microseconds, but it could be in the microseconds. And you must understand that we are dealing with electronic equipment. The electronic equipment offers a clock speed that is in the gigahertz range. And I hope you're not being technical. So if you look at those kind of frequencies and you calculate that into a time space, you're looking at very minute fractions of the data. The document validity, again, the standard operating procedure is a living, working document that we use to support the national system. Our versions of the document will change on a day-to-day basis as and when we need to amend them. We keep them electronic. We try not to print them out for a number of reasons. We like our keys. And the engineers generally access the electronic version. So this is a valid document. It's the one that we use to test the chamber in cavity. In terms of the cameras, so where the camera is working, yes, they were working. I think some of the footage did indicate a number of different perspectives in terms of the way the camera focused while the sitting was in progress. So the cameras were operational. In terms of the camera operators themselves, and I think we must also take into cognizance that this is one of the first times we've had an incident like this in the National Assembly Chamber. So I suppose we are dealing with human beings. And if they focus on a particular area, and I'm not sure that they did, but I'll just remember as what's the full video. I'm sure it was just simply to capture the moment. And it wasn't, there was no other motive. I have spoken to the camera operators and they operated within the guidelines that we've given them for that day. So the cameras weren't fixed for a particular reason. Again, I think there was a question around document 111, why was it not signed? I thought I'd spoken about that earlier. Yes, the sign-off sheets are authentic as far as we're concerned in terms of our service management procedures for the National Assembly Chamber. Were the engineers in the house on the day? Yes. As I described earlier, we have one engineer that monitors the back-end systems in the data center, and we have one engineer that's located in the constructor. Were there any reported RTT units not working on the day? Again, the engineer in the Hansard Bay would have taken note had there been any complaints by members around particular equipment that was not working. Obviously, there's nothing we can do while this is in progress because the technical staff are not allowed to come onto the floor of the house while we're in possession. The only time we can come out is once the sitting is adjourned. And even if the sitting is suspended, we try not to come onto the floor. When the meeting was adjourned, I was told that they did check the requested storefront. And they could not find any faulty units. And again, when we did the Monday check, which is a thorough assessment and diagnostic of all the systems, we did not find any faulty units that needed replacement. There were no faults logged I've looked through the record. I did not find any space that was drawn for that particular day to replace it. Chair, I think that's the last of the questions. I hope I've answered them.
Is there anyone that thinks that there is a question that he or she has posed yet and which has not responded to? I need those ones first before I take the second round. Is your question honorable Fiktan? And then honorable Lothris, you had a question that was not responded to. It's a follow up and I just wait a second. Honorable Fiktan.
Thank you, Chair. I want to know why is it that there was no report submitted on the malfunctioning of the system on the 21st? That is very, very critical. You have repeatedly said that no such a report was submitted. Why? Thank you.
Without really protecting the witness, I think that question has been answered. It will be a little bit important that we remind ourselves to the Zucker. You can repeat that, Mr. Gordon.
Thank you, Chair. As I said earlier, on the 21st, the engineer does sit in the house and does take notes. If there are particular complaints from him around malfunctioning equipment, immediately after the sitting, we try and verify whether the equipment is malfunctioning to make necessary repairs. If they tested the equipment and they did not find anything wrong with that particular time, then there would not be a lock, because it does not require any remediation or repairs. If we had repaired the component or replaced something, then there definitely would be a lock.
Thank you. Can I just take another round and then Honorable Kuala, then Honorable Esso, then followed by Honorable Latrice. I'm not seeing any other hand going up in that order. Honorable Kuala.
Thank you, Chair. I would want the witness to take us through page 113 and just give us an indication of Esso to get an understanding of that which is being communicated in the effort upon. The second question, Chair. The witness has actually made a very interesting confession about on the same question, because of the event of the day and the fact that it's something that I've never experienced before. The camera tended to focus on a specific group of people, thus robbing this committee of a holistic view of the events that unfolded in the house of the is there any information apart from that which we have seen when videos presented here as reflecting of the events of the day that we have been shown in terms of the footage? And if no, can we access that footage so as to have a holistic view of the happenings in the house of that day?
Okay, Honorable Esso.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think mine would be a similar one to in terms of page 116, just to give us an understanding of the email that was sent between individuals on that day, referring to the house and the preparation and issues made. Some of them are not very clear because it's noted as not given when it's asked certain questions. Just to explain to us briefly 116. The other one is, of course, the Secretary of Parliament noted that some of the equipment was not working on the day. However, the Secretary of Parliament did not log that to the ICT service desk. So there seems to be a comment on the one side. And from the engineer side, there seems to be something else. And the engineer was present during the sitting. I'd like to also just know what happens when people all want to talk at the same time and press the button. Is there the possibility that, of course, only one person can talk at a time and not many mics can be on for people to respond or wanting to speak and press the button out of their own accord, not that they've been recognized, but they press the button. What are the issues that could develop if many people press and want to speak at the same time?
Thank you, Chair. Just to follow up on the question I asked earlier about switching off the audio, because that does impact on the evidence that was led already, because we could only see the visuals and we could not have the audio. Could you perhaps give an indication of why it was switched off and who gave the instruction that it was switched off? Thank you.
Are we done? Okay. Have you collected your mind now after writing the question? Because I think just like last week, and then I said to the honorable members that it is a little bit important to ask maybe one question at a time, so that the witness doesn't find himself or herself battling with ordering your question rather than organizing your response. And because when you are faced with many questions, then it becomes a bit of a problem. I just hope that he is capable of being multidisciplinary to deal with the question ordering and response ordering. If you are ready, you can take us on.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I understood the man's question correctly around the footage. Was there any additional footage that we did not submit to the committee? Was that your question? No, the answer is no. We submitted all the footage, both from the ENG and from our master test that we recorded. So what you have that was for the committee is all of our recording. We did not without any other recording. There was a question around the Secretary had acknowledged or identified some faulty units. And again, the engineer would have been in the house, and generally the Secretary would have spoken directly to the engineer to review and check. And we would have checked. The very afternoon of the sitting, or certainly when we have done our Monday checks, we would have checked each and every item again. And then before the sitting, the pre-sitting. So if there had been any faults that were discovered either on the Monday or before the pre-sitting, or immediately after the sitting, we would have loved it and accepted, because it is in our interest to make sure that all the equipment is fully functioning as the same thing. So we do check. As to why it wasn't working on the particular day, I don't have an answer to you, because as I said, we did our diagnostic testing, we were unable to find anything in particular that was wrong with the system. There was a question around the emails if you had many people pushing the button at the same time. The system is designed in a way that it's a toggle system. So you push it once and it switches on. If you push it again, it's going to switch off. And I think that's the nature of it. So you could push it 100 times, and depending on how many times you push it, the unit will record whatever you do. So you're either pushing it on and off, on and off. You are not sending 100 requests to the server. Because when you push the button, it logs that request, and the system picks it up. When you push it again, it's going to switch it off, and the system takes it off. So it's the nature of the way that the system is designed to operate. So it handles such instances where people are pushing it on and off. So it is a design feature. As I said, we did test 400 simultaneous push off the system. When we installed it, just to confirm and to test it. In terms of the email that some of the members from the ABC told, you will notice that these are pretty much the standard in most of the documents that we get. So if you look, what they're really asking is, if you are logging a call, then these are the fields that you must submit in order for us to log the call. So I'll give you an example on page 116. It says where physically or in the network is the trouble observed, address case from Parliament. So in this case, we're logging a call for not an issue with the system, but for them to come out and do the pre-steps checking. It's not a technical problem, but it's the way they service their software. And then it says when is to support that one. If there was a technical fault, we would log the exact nature of the fault, the details, and we would answer it in all of those questions. And you'll notice that these questions are there, they're standard questions in the email. The question that the member asked around why was the audio switched off? We take our instructions directly from the table. In terms of footage, the sitting, we were asked to move the sound by the table, and my technician said something about it.
You have a question that has not been responded to. Okay. Can you just raise that specific question which has not been responded to? I'm sure it's honorable as well as the same. Okay, can you start the talk?
Like, I specifically referred to 113.
And have a witness just take us through what they're doing. Can we then have him to talk to that other than overloading you with a question? Probably that may be the effect of having skipped some other question. Have you got page 113? And then have you analyzed this?
Yes.
Okay, you may respond.
Thank you, Chair. I think if you look at 113, and again, I'm sorry that I referred to 116, you'll notice that the questions there, that they're referring to are similar in nature. I think it's the way it's been printed and the formatting of it that makes it look a little different. For example, it asks what is wrong with it, support for the NA chamber. So, again, it's the similar thing that we had on page 116, where we log a call, but not because there's an issue with the National Assembly Chamber, but because there's a setting that needs to be supported and etc. And again, it says where physically on the network is the trouble observed, and it's the same on that email, where physically on the network on page 116. So these are standard questions that they issue when they log a call. Their services then send us a confirmation of that call with these fields in it. And it could be any nature of the call. That's really what they think of. So essentially those are exactly the same type of questions that they have. This is a standard email that comes from the subscriber.
Okay.
Chair, my question is very specific. If a number of people press a button, how many people can speak at the same time? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I know it is sequenced and people speak in order generally, but what if many people press buttons, how many people can speak at one time?
I'll really maybe ask the witness to answer that for, I think it will be for the third time now, since I've been here. And I think he may be willing to repeat that. Mr. Poole.
Thank you, Chair. I assume that the member is talking about the quest to talk button when you speak in the button. So, the 400 members in the chamber push the request to talk button. It's only the first 20 that is captured on the screen for that particular question. And the order in which they push the button is captured. So, from first to last. Again, it is then up to the speaker to acknowledge who on that list gets to speak. All the request to talk system does is to register who pushed the button and in what order they pushed the button and display that on the screen of the speaker and on the table. So we only display the first 20 buttons pushed for that question.
Yeah, the understanding, I think that needs to be made clear. Maybe we're not framing the answer in the more direct way. Members must also try and verify themselves. When you're in front of a keyboard that you are typing and press two buttons at the same time, only one will be recorded. The one that is fed because I understood what you are saying, it may be even in nanoseconds making a difference between the two buttons being pressed at the same time. But electronic systems will make a difference. Even in nanoseconds. Why do you think that you have pressed the two buttons at the same time? But the pressure of the button may not be exactly at the same time. You may have a difference in nanoseconds. And then the equipment will make that difference. I don't know that is it a follow up question, Honorable Esther?
Yeah, I think the answer, it's not a direct answer. No two people can speak at one time. I want to know that. Because that answer's not given. I can understand sequence.
Yes.
But as long as my mic is on, nobody else can speak. Is that true?
Just explain that other part.
Chair, I think I need to put on record that the microphone system is not linked to the Quest Talk system. The microphone system operates independently. So the Quest-to-Talk system simply captures the order in which you push the button. If the speaker acknowledges, then the member walks up to the microphone, switches on, and speaks. Now, in the National Assembly chamber, we allow up to 5 microphones on the floor to be turned on at any given time.
At one time,
yes.
Okay, and then Honorable Tyler wants a follow-up question. And then it looks like Honorable wants to say, and Honorable Kisan wants to close because we are not too much close to lunch. In that order.
Thank you. This is basically a follow-up question that I posed earlier in relation to the footage of the day in question. There is a confession that has been made by the witness as well as the chairman himself that we're dealing with human beings who might have gotten excited and forgot to observe and do their duty as expected and thus focus their attention on the 20 individuals or 25 in the house. That's robbing this committee of very, very valuable footage that could have given us a proper perspective of the happenings in the House of Representatives. Now, you in your answer, you indicated that you submitted everything to whoever requested you to. I don't know who that is. I'm not sure if that which you submitted to whatever power has played itself out in the videos that were being taken from. And that's my contention. That the video evidence that's presented thus far in the hearing is not fully reflective of the event of the day. And how do we recover that meeting footage that covers these other events in the video are not covered in that which has been
presented? Let's hear the point of order from Honorable Bongo.
You appear the member is asking what he has asked before. And the man is not putting the question, I think it's just superfluous. I suggest that if he has issues that he may want to raise on argument, he must be able to separate that from questions, because he's advancing an argument, so that may be advanced. The procedure does provide that. Such an argument may be advanced in the speaker. So for now, I think we must not pose first questions that may not affect us. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I think your point of order is sustained. The views and the arguments can they be withheld now for your deliberation? Because now it doesn't need to affect what happened. And then we just reserve our views for your own deliberations at an appropriate time. Honorable Esso? Oh, okay. The Honorable Lucci?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just like to go back to the audio. Was it said that the table requested that it be switched off? Could he perhaps be more specific as to who's on the table?
Thank you.
Yes, I think that is a very short, it will be a very short answer. Honorable Mwango?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had actually asked whether the Madam Speaker's equipment was actually working on that day. And I didn't get it. And the second one was whether there were any engineers in the house on that day. I'm asking this question because I had problems with my own personal, request to speak, and it is captured in the handbook that I actually had to use someone else's station.
There's a point of order, Honorable Mwango. Yes? Can we hear it from Honorable Mwango?
I think, Chair, it would be important that the members listen attentively and very carefully to this proceeding, because I take it that Honorable Mwango is not listening
properly.
Confirm that he has got no first-hand knowledge
of the tests that were conducted. It's all reports that have been generated by his subordinates so that we can place that evidence in its appropriate box. Thank you.
Honorable Dagan.
Thank you, Chef. Let me just put it on board.
specifically asked the engineers. Unfortunately, I wasn't in Hansard Bay at the time, so I can't respond to that question. Was the speaker's equipment tested? Yes, it was. And it was found to be working because, as I said, I think in one of my previous responses, that we checked the entire system because it has various components. And the speaker's screen, particularly on the day of questioning, is important. So we always check it. How many cameras are operational? I think I just covered that one. It was 5 in the National Assembly. And we had 5 operational. As to what their focus was, generally, Chair, we have some guidelines in which we give our operators in which to operate and record the sittings of the House. We don't give them any particular mandates, but simply to broadcast what happens in the House.
Any other questions that have been missed on those that have been raised? Those that have been raised. Honourable Speaker, I would like to believe that the question has not been answered.
I don't know if you've answered my question. Maybe it's
that
very good.
Yeah.
Okay, my question was, does the witness have first-hand knowledge of what is contained in the reports he has submitted, or is he relying just on those uncertified photocopies? This will help us to place this evidence in the right box. Thank you.
I've got a little bit of a problem because you have actually drafted that the question that you posed before. You have redrafted it. Yes. But let the witness then respond to the one that you have said now. But the one that you are referring to, it was not exactly the way you put it now. Just respond on that.
Mr. Chair, I can confirm that I was not in the House during the testing because it's not part of my function to be there. But you are correct, it is a dedicated function. We had 4 engineers, 2 from our contractor and 2 from Parliament, that were part of the test system. And they confirmed that the system for operation. On the basis of that and the report that was submitted to me, I am now testifying that the systems are operational.
Okay. It looks like Tyler would refuse to eat if he does not ask a question. You can ask for.
The compilation of the events and activities in the House. What is it meant for? Is it for evidence? Is it for the public? What drives the need for this footage?
I'm not really clear what you've asked. You mean the recordings, the video footage and the answers and all that, why are they being done? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah,
that would be because we also want to be clear that he has responded to your question.
Yes. I'm just asking a very simple direct question. There are videos in the House located at different parts. Naturally, to compile a record of this. Is that record meant for use as evidence or anything else?
Okay, I think now it is a little bit clear in terms of what.
Okay, what I can confirm is that when we do broadcast and record footage in the House, it is sent to the national broadcasters, including DSTV, ETV, or KBC, and anybody else who requests that footage, they take it live. We stream it via our YouTube channel, so it's available to the public online. We record it as archive material. What it's used for, I can't tell you exactly because we keep the archive when it's requested either from members of the public or internally. We submit an accurate recording of that today.
Okay. and I'm not sure whether I've got enough microwave.
The point that I wanted just to raise, I'm not sure how to phrase it as a question, is the point that the manager of the witness is here. The question I wanted to pose was the 65 team that we are meeting, they report to you almost on daily basis.
Okay, I think you can respond to that.
Chair, I think it's important to just keep in mind that the unit that manages the audio video systems at Parliament is a unit and it has a unit manager. That unit manager reports to me on a daily basis. On particular issues that he needs to escalate to me or that needs my information.
Okay, it looks like the reporting is through the normal line functions of the directorate. Then we have a follow-up.
Chair, the point that was raised in the minute is that we are here to need evidence. All those who need to generalize speaking, they work under your directorate. The point that was raised is that that's on the 21st of August. And then the unit
while the matter was happening, and we also had several sessions after to discuss what happened in the house.
Okay. Honourable members, it looks like we have satisfied ourselves with the questions that we wanted to ask. There may still be a question or whatever. All what matters is how significant is the question, what sort of valuable, that particular evidence that you're looking for going to assist you in your deliberation moving forward. And I would have loved us to break for lunch before some of us collapse and unceremonially. And honorable members, let's try and be back by 10 to 2. Yes, and then the witness, of course, I think as we have concluded, I think we may release the witness.
Yes.
Okay, let me just hang on a little bit because it looks like now I've got a counter from Honorable Hunt.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to know that in the report that he received immediately after what had happened on the 20th, in the report, was there any mention made that there was a particular facility, a request to speak facility that did not work?
Yes, Honorable Dagan, I wanted to say something as well. Are you covered?
No. I think I'm done. I'm very happy with the answer that I was giving.
Oh, okay. No, thank you very much. Let us have a situation where Honorable Mwango would say, I'm done, I'm happy. Can you respond to one for Honorable Mwango? Because otherwise we won't have lunch.
Chair, again, the staff did indicate that there was a member who indicated in the House that his button was not working. Again, we checked it after the sitting to verify, and they reported that to me.
Okay. I think this should be the end of the questions from the member. Mr. Van Poore, you have heard the members going up and down, left and right, forward and backward. And do you have any comments, anything to raise? You are cognizant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two issues. One is firstly to... I have no further questions other than to comment that I'm indebted to Mr. Pulia for having come and explained to the committee. I think there were some rather useful factual issues which he has traversed, which the committee can then deliberate on. And the second is an entirely housekeeping question, Mr. Chairman. You did indicate that we would be back at 10 to 2. I fear that that would give us some 15 minutes from now. I guess there's a compelling reason to do so. Might I suggest 2 o'clock?
What would you?
Oh. Okay, I think I'll see for you to be a short steward of the members. And then honourable members, I think that take us to lunch, and then Mr. Puria, then we need to thank you for having made yourself available and on the invitation of the committee to come and assist them with some evidence that would assist them in the deliberations towards the conclusion of this exercise. I really want to say thank you on behalf of the committee, and they are then released. And the other two members, let's go to lunch and then we come back at 2 o'clock.